Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is Four Center, a show about Star Wars, pop culture, and the ultimate adventure, life itself. We're going to be talking about all those things on this episode of Subjective Wars. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Jennifer Lando.
And I think we're all thrilled to be here. I don't know. We'll find out as we get started. This is a topic that's very close to my heart that I have a lot of thoughts about, but I really want to know Ken and Jennifer's feelings. I also know some of the internet's feelings about this because they've really let me know. Today we're talking about action figures, opening versus not opening action figures. And again, we will underline the title of the show is Subjective Wars, meaning these are our thoughts, our opinions. We'll come to a decision for ourselves based on some metrics we discover as we go. There's, of course, not a correct answer. There's a correct answer for you, but, you know, not, you know, scientifically. Anyway, we're going to get into this. We always like to take temperature at the top of opening versus not opening action figures. Ken, you have collected action figures over the years as a child and as an adult. What is your temperature at the beginning of this discussion? Are you in one camp or the other for yourself?
I think I've grown up as a open 'em, right? And there's the kid aspect of it, so I understand that. But even beyond that, when it became acceptable / cool to get action figures again, the mid-90s, I was mixed, but I opened a lot of them. Like when the Phantom Menace figures came out, I opened all of them. I still have them. They're in plastic baggies. And I liked displaying them. I liked looking at them. I liked, I won't say playing with them. I certainly didn't play. But, you'd pick them up. You'd look, you feel them in your hand. And I just liked those figures as pieces of art on display out of the packages. But I'm looking around my room. All of them are in packages now, except for bigger, higher-end ones. Black Series figures like Ray's Speeder, the Speeder Bike one. There's that kind of stuff. It's different. But I think I spiritually align with open, set your figures free.
Right.
So Jennifer, I think I see your temperature. What is your, where do you start with open versus not open?
I am a collector, but I am a monster because I like to open them. I love the packaging. And this is not just with Star Wars things. It's also with my retro figures. I have a Monchichi that I ripped out of the package and proudly displayed it on my dresser. I just can't help myself. It feels like I don't know what it is. I want to create like a little scene for my characters. Mm-hmm. Pose them. Maybe if I'm being silly, pose a stormtrooper, the posable stormtrooper, first order stormtrooper like that. Just do playful things with it, right? It's almost like Elf on the Shelf. Where's the action figure going to be today? I'm coming at this from the adult perspective because even though I have kids, I know realistically I can't keep anything in the package. They're going to rip it open. But today I'm only representing myself, the adult who collects toys.
I would definitely keep Elf on the Shelf in the package. Elf on the Shelf creeps me out. So that's definitely a package choice for me. I never even thought about that. I don't think there's anything monstrous about opening. I got to be very, very clear on that. I do not think there's anything monstrous about any choice you make with your action figures. I think for me, I went on this journey where, I loved the figures when I was a kid. They meant so much to me. And I don't think for kids, this isn't, should kids open their action figures or not? Children should open their toys and play with them. I'll go out on a limb and say that challenging thought on the internet. I'm pro kids playing with their toys. I did. I opened them and I loved them and I played with them, a ton. By the time of Return of the Jedi, I've mentioned this before, I tried to make choices about how often I moved their limbs because I didn't want them to get too loose. My, walrus man is just drunk, can't stand, limbs flying everywhere. So by the time I got my Jedi Luke, I'd be like, how often can I raise his arm with his lightsaber? Anyway, then as I got older, I really wished I still had the packaging because before there were vintage figures and before there was the internet, I was like, what did the back of those figures, action figure packages look like? Power of the Force cards coming out in mid to late 90s, Phantom Menace. And I started adopting a get two because I wanted to take them out of the package and pose them and put the lightsabers in their hands and all that. But I remembered feeling like, oh, I missed the package because that was a part of it and a part of my nostalgia, too. That eventually just turned into, I can't afford to buy two. So now I'm just going to buy the one and keep it in the package. And the reason that I do that is that strong connection that I'm a collector now. I don't really play with them. And this is the packaging is so much a part of the art to me of what they are. The packaging dates it to a specific time. Does it have a sticker advertising something? Does it have the price sticker from the specific store that, so great when you see like a Bespin Luke from the original run that's like $450. Then it has a sticker that says $199 at Kmart on it, and it's like that's a part of the history. And I really think of my action figures as pieces of art in a collection, and I rotate them on my shelves and all that. I still sometimes open specific ones, but I have a hard time doing that unless I have a double. So that's where I'm starting at and why I like them in the package.
There's so much there I agree with, right? The pieces of art. It's like comic books. Like I love getting back into comic books in 2012, 2013 range. And the reason was is I wanted to have those covers as pieces of art more than even the stories, right? So I mm-hmm. really get and respect where you're coming from. And I no more than Funko Pops is where I look at for that, because I think as standalone toys, when I do open them and display them, they're fine. I'm looking at a Kira I have over there. Love it. Great. It's on display. I have some Game of Thrones ones. I have Leia on a speeder bike. Love it. But Funko Pops worked for me as a complete package. The art on it, some about it drew me in. It wasn't the big eyes. It was like, oh, that's from, oh, they have Young Guns 2 Funko Pops. I want that. And I don't even know if they do. They have Tombstone ones. But you know what I mean? Like, it was so taking them out kind of they lost their luster. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah, you don't even want to see their heads bobble. You just want to keep them stackable, easily stackable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think another part of this equation, it always this conversation often gets to be about like the essential, what are toys, you know, and people say right. they're meant right. to be played with, play with them. And I don't disagree with that. But I think we're also in this time, and I really want both of your thoughts on this, where there was kind of a window where people were still collecting Star Wars toys in particular as adults. And they're for collectors, but they're for kids. I think we finally got to the point where, like, some of these action figures just are not for children. They aren't buying them in the same volume. Mm-hmm, and, like, mm-hmm. it's always almost been, like, kind of half joke, half shame of, like, yeah, I collect these. Like, we're past right. that now. It's
right.
action figures in particular are an adult collectible as well as for kids. Ken, how do you just feel about that as a fact of changing culture?
Yeah, I think we have to accept that, and it's been the last couple of years where the action figure market has changed, especially in the Star Wars world, where who they're making them for has to be considered, and that's sometimes unfortunate, right? Sometimes mm-hmm. I think we've not gotten the figures we might want or even deserve, or the figures deserve to be made, the characters deserve the figures, and they're not because of the change. Because I'm going back to I was introduced to Star Wars figures by an adult, my parents' friends. We were at a party. I remember. I've written about this. I've talked about it. But I was a quiet kid at this party. There was a bunch of kids and families, and I was in the living room by myself, kind of scared. And he tried to connect with me, and he goes, "Hold on, I got." And he pulled down the Vader collector helmet and the C-3PO collector helmet. And my dad came in, and he was showing all of us. And I didn't even know what I thought it was Battlestar Galactica. Like, I was like, I don't know what this is, but I loved it. And they weren't in the package, right? And I thought it was Dirk Benedict in 3 3/4. And it just that connected. Then out of the package was how I connected with Star Wars figures. But that's not where we're at. I'm even going to conventions. We've been around each other, Joseph, mm-hmm. looking for figures. Mm-hmm. I love picking up the loose $8 price to go classic mm-hmm. Kenners with an ear missing or something, but it doesn't have the same oomph behind it. If I was to get a Walrus Man on card, right? Mm-hmm. I even then view it less than, if that makes sense. Hmm.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Jennifer, I mean, how do you feel about where toys are at, that they are obviously for children, but there are some that are just totally for adult collectors? How do you feel about that change in the span of your lifetime?
I think it's great, but I do think that there is something about the displaying of it. And if I was a wealthy person, I would 100% have a bunch of action figures in their boxes, pristine, mint condition, and have proper displays with lights. And you know, I just imagine like Ewan McGregor's
music.
House. Right. Like, I mean, maybe he has all these cool collectibles and they're all like, it's like art, like what you're mm-hmm. describing, mm-hmm. Joseph. Like mm-hmm. it's meant to be in the package. That's a part of the art. Mm-hmm. But where I am is like going to a garage sale and stumbling upon an old Greedo that's missing a limb, right? Mm-hmm. There's something for me about like rescuing these discarded toys, rescuing the ones that are not seen as valuable. They are valuable. Mm. They are still worth something because it reminds me of my childhood. And it's like, I'm sure there's a metaphor there. Repairing old wounds, right? But it's a nice lesson for kids too, that they don't have to throw it away because they've ripped open their package. they, it can still be valuable. It can still bring joy.
What, one of my favorite things about Star Wars action figures, and I, other lines do this, but I was introduced to it in Star Wars, where you'd have the name of the character, and then in parentheses, you know, you get the sub thing of this Luke Skywalker Bespin fatigues. I'm looking at my Obi-Wan Kenobi showdown. I love the idea of you're getting at a you're picking up a Greedo where his in parentheses is thoroughly loved. This is Greedo who has been thoroughly loved by some child or adult. I think that's great. I think a lot of it is about, you know, what the action figures are signifiers of the character that you like, of the franchise of that you like, of the time and place that you bought it. And I utterly see the value of, I found this Greedo who was maybe loved too much or not enough. I'm gonna bring home this Greedo and celebrate the Greedo. That's like, that's so much of our meaning is imbued upon them by us externally. I love what you're saying though, Jennifer, about posing. And I want to talk about that because when I say that action figures in the packages are art, I feel like it's one version of art, but I do feel like it's art to take them out and pose them and take photos of them. Mm-hmm. How do you, what gives you joy about the posing and think of it as art that way? What's the artistic expression there?
I love this. See, this is where I'm saying I'm not just a collector. Like, I collect all sorts of things. Oh, my kids, I've turned my kids into collectors. Barbies, American Girl dolls, like all sorts of things. I've gotten little stands from Amazon, ranging from like small for my baby Monchichi up to the American Girl dolls. So I can, well, not me. So we can dress them up as Anna and Elsa. This is where it's helpful to have kids when you're a collector, because you're like, oh, this is for my kids. Me, I'm searching eBay looking for the right Elsa outfit for them. But there is something like whimsical, right? Like, you can display them when we had the Frozen theme party. I can display them when we have May the 4th, and I can put them in celebratory poses where it feels like the action figures and the toys have come to life. And there is something about that's like magical, this very Toy Story-esque, where we, like, you know, give them this life. And that's why I like being able to pose them. They feel trapped in the box. I want to take them out.
I don't often feel the trap thing. I do sometimes. We'll come back to that, because that's a thing, a pain I went through just the other day that I want to share with you both. I really agree with the art, because when I look at the ones that I have taken out of the package, you know, for a while there, Hasbro was experimenting with the no window. And then I'm like, I'm not going to leave them in the package. So I had some where I was like, this is delightful. My hand has been forced because I can't see the actual action figure, and that's a bridge too far, even for me. And also, you just cut a piece of tape. So, like, on the card, when you're ripping them up, you're kind of devastating the pack. Even if you're real careful, you're still ripping something. So it helped me a lot, too, of just, like, it's just a piece of tape, and I can reseal it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, point being, like, I've got my Boba Fett from the Book of Boba Fett, and I get to express what I love about him. So he's down on one knee with the other knee raised. So in my mind, he is constantly firing the knee darts that I love so much. But then for anybody else looking at him, it's like, did Boba Fett just finish his show tune? Was that like his big close at a number in Oklahoma? Because he's just like on his knees, you know, arms out with a blaster. And that is so much. I love what you're saying about it. Sort of posing them as a way that we sort of imprint ourselves on them and our interpretation of them and what we love about them. Ken, how do you feel about posing action figures is a form of art?
I wish I was better at it. I kept looking back here because I have the Obi-Wan Kenobi there, the high-end one there that I was gifted one time. I don't know if you can see, for those on the podcast, I apologize, I'm pointing. Obi-Wan looks drunk in the corner. It looks like he's trying to stand up. He's like kind of got his hand on the desk there, and he's like leaning up like, I'll cut you.
Chalmers tipsy Kenobi. That's his parentheses.
I've never been great at it. Yeah, some people, Jen, you sound wonderful at it. By the way, shout out to Jen going to the American Girl store at the Grove and saying, I have an appointment at the Dolly Hospital with my Frontier Franny. And they're like, where's your kids? no, I need a Band-Aid for my Dolly. But like, you know, you, our buddy Ken Plume has a great Instagram account where he takes wonderful photos of posed action figures. And as I wish I had that skill as much as I love opening them. And I think maybe that's why I forced myself to be a non-opener over the years, because I couldn't find my inner poser.
I love that. I love that. So I want to talk about them in the package in a trauma and a gift that I've received. So sometimes when I pick up a figure and like, I kind of like to get two of these, but I don't feel the need to take them out of the package because they're posed really well in the package. Either they were designed that way. Mm-hmm. Like that back in the early kind of 2000s, there was the first Dejerik Challenge Chewy, and he's sitting at the table and his arms are up. And like, he's perfectly posed in the package. But even like the vintage collection I'm collecting now, sometimes it'll just be like Kenobi's head is just at the right angle. He looks super cool. Mm-hmm. And like, he's beautiful the way he is. But just the other day, I finally got my Count Dooku vintage that I pre-ordered. And he ain't laying right in the package, which happens. The vintage characters are so posable that you get a very different character based on how they're in there. And his head's kind of like sort of down to the side. And like one of his very flexible feet is like way out. So he looks like he's like posing coyly and like kind of shy and looking off and one leg out and like, yeah. I need another Dooku because I can't live with that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Jennifer, are you affected at all about how the characters pose? I know you're an opener in general, but if you were on the fence about keeping one in the package, would you be affected by just how the action figure actually looks in the package?
Yeah, like I have an old C-3PO up there who just will not stand or even really sit anymore because everything's become so loose. Would I like him better in a pristine package where he's standing upright or at least some sort of pose? Absolutely. I would. So there is a rare occasion where that's where I would want one to pose and one to have in the box.
Mm-hmm. Ken?
See, I'm looking at the ones that I have on the shelf. I don't think because you mentioned like the Chewy line. There was, and this is a conversation beyond just Star Wars figures, of course. Mm-hmm. But like there's those Star Wars lines from that era that almost came pre-posed, right? It's like, here's Anthony Daniels Attack of the Clones character, and he's drinking. Like, that's the pose. Mm-hmm. And I like those, but I almost felt like it took away some choice. It took away some agency. I don't want to do that. I want to find a way to pose. So all the ones, I like the ones that are just kind of like, they're trapped in the package, waiting for you to explore your own emotions with what you want these characters to do. Hold a drink. I'm drawn to that. And that might be the G.I. Joe of it all. Beyond just, yes, I was a kid and played with them, but I did collect G.I. Joes when they started re-releasing them. This is one of the reasons I got in trouble at my old job because I had them hanging on a wall and they were like, that's not professional. But I wanted them out, and G.I. Joes had more points of articulation at the time. They were easier to pose, and I liked that aspect of it. So it's either like, just I want them crisp and clean and hanging on a wall where I'll decide later on, or I like to pull them out and decide for myself. If that makes sense.
All of this is psychological. It's so we can learn so much about ourselves. I love you're making a very important distinction in my question, because there's one world where it's like the figure is not supposed to be posed. It's just that I've got a Grief Karga vintage where his head is pulled back. So in the package, he just looks like he's looking at the sky going, dear Lord, why? And like, OK, that's kind of fun. Whatever. But there's a difference between a modern vintage figure being packaged weirdly versus what you're talking about, Ken, is the makers of the toy posing it for you.
Yeah. Mm.
And I actually don't like that. And I didn't realize how much I didn't like it until you brought it up, Ken, because even growing up as a kid, I wanted action figures because their limbs could move. I didn't know why I thought that was cooler, but I realized now it was to make a choice. And sometimes my parents would be like, do you want this model where it doesn't move, or like a little plastic figurine where it's just totally posed, and be like, their limbs don't move? Gross. I don't want that. I didn't realize how much posing, which means an ability to not just play, but to create, to, you know, put your own stamp on it. I got all these action figures that I'm not going to take out of the package. Their limbs will never move, but it's very important to me that they could.
Yeah.
What is that about?
Recreating the scenes that we grew up watching or that we were drawn to. I think we haven't even talked about the vehicles, because nothing like if you were to see a TIE fighter or an X-Wing in the box. It's cool. But imagine walking into your friend's house and you see it hanging from the ceiling. There's something that's like dynamic about that, right? Or with a walker, you can just kind of do these fun little poses. You could take it to your backyard and have a sense of whimsy for the barbecue. And inspired. You know, all my wedding. Have it in the bathroom, in your planter. because it's like recreating those action moments that we loved. You can't get that in the box.
ATBQ sounds pretty damn great to me. I want to come to that party.
Yeah, I mean, the vehicle thing is almost maybe a separate thing.
It's a separate thing.
A vehicle in a box is such a wasted opportunity, right? Those are built for display. I'm looking at my Infus Nest in our speeder. Like, that has to be.
But it makes a great point to me, because I think thank you for the free therapy, guys, because I do love them on multiple levels. And this is why if it was financially and space viable, I would get two of absolutely everything. I would have got two of the Razor Crest when I went bonkers and did that. But so I don't disagree with you at all, Jennifer, that the vehicles out of it are dynamic and you can do so much more of it.
Right.
I'm sitting here wishing, could Hasbro just start selling just the box? Because honestly, sometimes I look at these huge vehicles of modern vehicles that are in that vintage style boxing where, you know, it's the action figure with just like some, or the vehicle with some lighting, and which action figures have they picked to kind of stage around it and where are they standing? And then on the back, there's the, you know, no color, just line drawing art. And like, some of them for me are like, I want to look at the box, because it's in this moment for me, it isn't about play and posing. It is just about the art. So there's I wish they would be like, you can buy the N1, the Mandalorian N1 for like $120, or just the box for $20. And I'd be like, I'll buy that box.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the part of it for me, that it is just about art.
It's so funny. Yeah, yeah. You could scour eBay and get in a bidding war with some dude in Altoona for a used one. But yeah, no, it's fascinating. There's something to be said, like, when it comes to Lego. I'm a big fan over the years, and, you know, love building, playing them, displaying them. But like, there was a period of time where I was doing a Lego brick building show on my Twitch channel, and I was opening up all my like smaller, mid-sized Star Wars packages and building them. And I got to tell you, there was a bit of a letdown. They're all cool. I love the minifigs. Who doesn't? But like, you build them and you're like, it wasn't as dynamic as what it looked like on the box. It's tinier. I think I would have just rather kept the box, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel you on that one.
Yeah. I think my last metric I want to run past you both. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any of us have moved in any way. So this is a fascinating episode of Subjective Wars, but, I have discussions with our friend Ken Plume, who, you know, has kindly offered, when he sees some super discounted figures, to pick them up for me. And he offered and got me some great figures, and I very much appreciate it. And I was trying to tell him, it's not about the money. I need to start making choices about space. I only have so much space. And he's like, you know, they take up less space if you open them. He's like, ribbing me about opening them.
Yeah, yeah.
And physically, technically, yes. But I thought about this when you're talking about the Funko Pops, Ken. In packages, not all of them, but in most packages, they stack. Versus once they're out, you gotta, you know, either they're on display and they're taking up way more literal physical space on your shelf, not being stackable. Or you gotta, you know, buy special holders for them and baggies and all that. So, Ken, what are your thoughts on what do you think is easier to deal with when it comes to storage? Open figures or figures still in the package?
Figures in storage. And by the way, if we had, you know, you and Ken were debating this, it'd be the first ever Subjective Wars screaming match, I'm sure. It would have been pretty intense. It's where I'm at now. My storage shed is full of boxes of figures that I'm probably got to think about getting rid of at some point. But they're in the packages, and it's just easier. And the baggie of Phantom Menace figures sit there. Scaring me. Are they broken? Is the lightsaber broken into whatever? And I know there's other ways.
Darth Maul's nose get rubbed off.
Yeah. And there's other ways I could wrap them, and they're pretty wrapped. They're okay. But yeah, it definitely, and there's something about, even when I, like, I have a plastic tote of just G.I. Joe figures from, I think it was like the 20th anniversary line or whatever. Like, and they were great. There were some great re-releases. there's just this world of possibilities in front of me that I still look at them in the packages. Like, I still could open these and have warm, nostalgic memories come flooding back, or I could display them. There's a world of potential. Not unlike what I was saying with a Lego set, where you, like, you open it, you build it, well, there it is, versus, it's still there. The journey's still in front of me. So I do like going. I've gone in the last couple of months. I've gone into the storage shed, which takes a lot because I have to move out some suitcases, some little broadcast chairs, everything. Get in there, and I look at the boxes, and I think, all right, today's the day I'm going to see what I want to sell. And then I end up just looking at the packages and going, not today. And I think that's because of the packages.
Yeah. Jennifer, what is your gut instinct is what is easier for storage, in the package or out of the package?
Well, here's what I'm going to say, because we know that obviously keeping it in the box is easier for storage. But because of that, I find I end up buying more. When I actually take them out and display it, I get to enjoy it. I get to see it. It takes up sometimes more space for me, right? Mm-hmm. I only have a certain amount of shelf space. I can fit more if they're all in the box because I'll crunch them together. Mm. But otherwise, I let them breathe, which means I'm choosier about what I buy, which means I'm not going to buy. I don't buy as many action figures as I used to because I'm now taking them out of the box. Poor Manchichi. I just need the mom and the baby. I don't need the whole family, right? I don't need all the American Girl or Our Generation dolls. I just need the Anna and Elsa. The set is complete. Because they're displayed.
Interesting.
That's very powerful. I have a stack of about 8 figures that are doubles and that I can open, but I need to make space for them because I'm going to pose them wildly with limbs and lightsabers going everywhere. And like,
It's really interesting because I just went through this with some stuff I had received, and I had this option of like, well, do I keep a couple of these or one? And then I was like, well, I'm going to open it, and I've only got room for one, and I made my decision.
Yeah.
That's really interesting, Jen.
Yeah. Okay. I am going to be so responsible. We could keep talking about this forever, and I want to, but we try to keep these to around a half an hour, and we got some hard outs today, so we're going to begin seeing if anyone has changed their mind whatsoever. Ken, where do you go? Between opening versus not opening, where do you go?
I respect keeping them in the packages. I have those there. They're beautiful. They are pieces of art. You're 100% right. But if I had my druthers, and if I had space, I didn't worry about space issues. If I had the money to buy all these wonderful things, I still wish I could take them out of the package. I think right now I have a lot in packages because I can't take them out. I'd rather take them out.
I understand. Jennifer, you have lots and lots of good metrics, lots of good reasons for your initial feeling of opening. And I sense you have not changed. Is that correct?
No, I am not. If I was Kim Kardashian, I would have an incredible room with all of my in-box action figures properly displayed the way any good collector would have it. But I'm not. And so therefore, I have them all over the place in random places to surprise me and my guests.
Now I want to go, like, basically, you know, like Disneyland, when you find the hidden Mickeys, I want to go to your home and find the hidden action figures everywhere.
Also,
that's great.
If you were Kim Kardashian, you wouldn't have action figures.
This is true. Of myself, I would have action figures.
And would all of her action figures be posed like they're doing a photo shoot? Her Boba Fett would have a very different look, head over shoulder.
Yeah.
All that kind of thing. Anyway, this is all great and fascinating. I get to wrestle with so many emotions. I do think toys are for adults as well, even though a child did literally push me out of the way in the Target aisle the other day, which is something I've literally had nightmares about. And then it finally happened. We're just like, and like, fine, child, you look at the toys first. I wrote a whole feature film script. It's a kind of a fantasy mystery show. But it was predicated on me wrestling with the issue about action figures. And there was the one character who was just like, everything in life is to be used. Rip them out. Take them. Play. Go. And there was another character who was struggling with being a little uptight. And what I worked through with that character is this idea that action figures can be in two states. They can be open or not open. And as Ken was saying, when they're not open, there's always possibility of being in another state. But once they're open, they are in that state. And I think there's beautiful, beautiful psychology, beautiful art, beautiful truth to either states. But for me, if I can't buy two, if I can buy just one, I'm still going to lean toward keeping them in that state of they're a piece of art where the possibilities are there. I might not move their limbs, but it's always possible when I'm gone and someone inherits my large collection, they will free my Kenobis and those limbs will move. But for now, I'm since we have decided subjective wars must be, we decide I'm going to decide not opening. My real truth is try to get as many as possible and open them all. And half and keep half in the box. Anyway, you know what I mean. Ken, rescue me. Where can they find
us? An emotional journey for all of us today. We are Four Center Podcast. We are on Twitter, X, Threads, Hive, if you're there. Instagram at Four Center Pod. Also on Facebook at Four Center Podcast. We do have merch available. You can take the shirts out of the packages or order a coffee mug and take it out. That is at tpublic.com/user/Four Center. Podcast is available any spot where podcasts are available. Just search and find us. And also, if you'd like to support us directly, we are on patreon.com/4Center, where I'm sure some spirited but friendly subjective wars will take place in our Discord. You can follow me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, kennapsok.com, for more information, including upcoming shows. Jen, where can they find you? And are you going to share any of your hidden figures in your house?
Yes, you can find me painfully opening my Elf on the Shelf ragdoll from the 1980s on YouTube, Instagram at Jennifer Landa, or TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138.
There you go. Joseph, you, I don't know if you're going to get any pushback, but I think you're going to get a lot of comments with you, against you, and wondering even more. This was a hard episode for you. So where can we find you?
It was. It was hard, but it was beautiful. Yes. Find me and please be nice to me on all the various social media. I'm on Blue Sky, Instagram, Mastodon, Threads, all that stuff. My handle's at Joseph Scrimshaw. I'm also on TikTok. I haven't done it for a while, but a big part of this is I for a long time, was doing not unboxing videos where I just make jokes and appreciate action figures in the package. Lots of people have said nice things, and every once in a while, I get extremely irate people just in the comments on every video going, open them, you bleeper, open them. People have strong opinions about this, and I understand, and I have no judgment against opening. I think everyone should play with their action figures. This is the height of subjectivity to me. This is my journey where I enjoy them as art, and I keep them in the package most of the time. But I support you in doing whatever you want when you are expressing yourself with your action figures. I opened an action figure of the Count from Sesame Street to make the thumbnail for this video. So I do open them from time to time.
Wonderful.
But for now, that is it. We have fought in the subjective worlds.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.